about to commence.
Good morning and welcome to April 6th. It's Carl and Linda Bottom, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. And you can write to us at Linda at KCNR1460.com. And of course, on the board, in full control, like the captain of a ship, like Captain Kirk on the Star Trek Enterprise.
I think of myself as more of a Mr. Spock, sir.
Well, you know what? You keep this up, you're going to be Mr. Sulu. Okay.
I'm Bones. Today I feel like Bones.
No. You're Uhura. Uhuru.
Is it Hulu or who?
Uhuru. Swahili for freedom.
Oh.
So, good morning.
Good morning. Currently 35 degrees out. Yes, but it is beautiful. It's brisk but beautiful. And so today's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 64. There's going to be a north wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming calm. And tonight, mostly clear with a low of around 44. Now, guess what?
What?
It's only a few days off from you wearing those high heels and walking a mile in her shoes.
That's right. Walking a mile
still
in her shoes.
Still taking pledges.
Taking pledges. We'd like to, I've been offered money. I'm not going to wear a skirt. I don't think there's enough money out there to make me do that.
You've been offered $50 to wear pearls, which you will.
Okay, I'll do the pearls part, because pearls can be tasteful.
And there's been a request for you to wear Dorothy-style pumps, which are in the works being made for you, especially
from
for you.
From the Wizard of Oz. Thank you. You know what? People are taking a life of its own. But there's many people out there, I believe, should be participating in this. Let's talk about Rich Bay, well-known lawyer about town.
Drummer. You
know, he wears high heels on his riding boots, on his motorcycle boots. I would think he could just switch those over to a pair of pumps and walk a mile. And then, of course, there's my veteran friends who are out there that could participate in this. We could perhaps get a small group of us and walk in a semi-formation for that mile.
So it is April 10th. That's this Saturday. And it begins at 10 o'clock, and you can sign up on the 9th. But as we said, we're taking pledges. So far, you have $130. Our goal is $250. Carl is going to walk a mile in high heels. And you know,
Ted Arellano. No, I was just thinking about Ted Arellano. You know, Ted, former Marine, would look good in a pair of maybe a patent leather pumps. And I know that his wife is listening right now.
We have all kinds of things.
The way that will keep me from talking about this, Ted, is to buy me off.
Right. Call us 605-4567. Yes, we're going to be very involved in that. Another thing that's happening this weekend is Let's Play Ball, which is happening out at Big League Dreams, and we'll be having a special guest on in a moment talking about the fundraiser for that wonderful baseball field they're trying to put together at Simpson, which is going to be awesome.
They're actually moving the whole baseball complex, I believe. But he'll explain it to us when he gets here.
Right. And don't forget the 9th annual Salmon Feed, April 9th, for the Redding Riverview Sunset Rotary. That's going to be a really big party. The tickets are $55 a person, and that gets your wine and your filet mignon and your, I don't know if it's filet mignon, but it's steak and lobster, right?
What's it say?
Well, it says dinner served, but they were telling you when they came in to see us, Curtis Byron, and of course.
It's going to be salmon. I would imagine it's going to be salmon there.
Salmon. Did I say lobster? Salmon.
You did, but I knew you meant it.
Salmon. Love salmon. I'm so excited about the seasons changing and just going to grill salmon all the time. So how are you feeling this morning, Bob?
Caught me by surprise here. Doing quite well.
We're going to be doing a remote on Friday. We've got, of course, the debate between Steve Carlton and Jerry Bonito. We're going to be doing it down at Tobacco and Brew. We've been working with the how we're going to do it in a remote so that it sounds just as good as it would here in the studio, and it looks like Bob's looked at problems, so we're ready to rock on that. Is that right?
Yes, and they were very helpful. We set up there in the room there at Tobacco and Brew and got a good connection, and I was very pleased with the quality from our end, and I think it'll be a good show.
Now, last night, Jerry Bonito and Steve Carlton had a debate, leaving a church. We're still getting feedback on that. If somebody was there last night, please give us a call. But we're going to go at 7:30 on Friday. We can have about 90 people in that room, so you may need to get there a little bit early. We're going to have questions prepared. They're going to run this. We're going to run this just like a debate you see in college with original questions, a rebuttal, and then a rebuttal to that. It should be pretty good. It'll be a way for you all to ask questions. And also, please start sending those questions in to Linda or I, Carl at KCNR1460.com. If you've got a question you want to ask, send it to us. We'll make sure it's included. We got to take a break here. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio at KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bot, our phone lines here are 605-4567. Hey, the census. Yeah, that's right, census. It's due, I believe, next week, mid-April. A lot of people are having problems with the census. I have problems with the census. Specifically, they didn't ask anything about veterans. Yes, I've gotten in arguments over the air about whether veterans should be on the census or not. I believe they should, just because the VA says they have great ways of keeping records, how come they don't know how many veterans are in the North State? Anyway, it's due. And here's the thing. If you say, I'm protesting, I'm not going to fill this thing out, well, then somebody's going to come to your house probably because they've already been there once and they put a GPS coordinate on it. Yeah, how about that? But here's the other thing. If we don't count and say who we are, and then things could happen in the sense of redistricting areas. In other words, we're in the second congressional district. If a lot of people don't sign up and say there's not a lot of people, there's more people down here, you're going to lose representatives up here, add them down here, we could end up, theoretically, in the San Francisco district and have Nancy Pelosi be our representative. Okay, I may have exaggerated a little bit, but the thing is if you notice that all the commercials are out there aiming at everybody but conservatives to be counted, ethnic groups. They're talking about our gay friends who should be marking each other down as spouses. I mean, these are just things that are coming out. So if think about it before you don't send in the census form. Send it in, be counted, so that we can try to maintain as much of our little bit of heaven up here in Shasta County as we can. Okay, that's the end of my paid political announcement that Linda paid me to do.
I was somehow just, am I supposed to be finding that sense of humor today?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was.
Well, maybe Bob on line one can be right there with us. Good morning, Bob. You're on KCNR.
Well, I'm not right there with you. I was just telling the guy that answered your phone. This is Coach Bob. I'm on my way to Chico, and I want to see how far your signal reaches. And so far, you're doing really, really good because I'm below Anderson on my way into Cottonwood going across the creek here. And that's not bad.
Hey, so Coach Bob, how are you today?
I'm excellent. I'm on my way to Chico to get some equipment fixed, and that's going to make my day a lot brighter, trust me.
But
as a result, that equipment's going to put me to work, and I won't be able to come in Friday and see the big battle. So,
well, are you going to be able to attend the Saturday night event with the Big League Dreams that's for the new baseball park that they're trying to put together over at Simpson?
No, I will not be available this weekend.
All right. We'll be thinking about you, though.
Well, thank you, and I'll let you go. Just thought I'd call and annoy you a little bit.
So, love it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the rub.
Thanks, Bob.
Love it. Oh, shoot. Well, you know what? We always love taking your calls and your emails here at KCNR. I mean, it really makes our day because we're here for you. It gives us juice. And one of the things that of course, Carl and I love is our dog and how much joy she gives us. And I'm sure you feel the same way about your pet. And this weekend is Love Your Pet Expo. And here this morning to tell you about what an incredible event this is Katie Ball. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
Okay, so Saturday is Love Your Pet Expo. Tell us about the event.
Well, Love Your Pet Expo is any type of pet. So to you, you love your dog, but then the Rat Association, they're going to love their rats. So we've got llamas, donkeys, rats, cats. Well, actually, I don't think we've ever seen a cat there. Cats just aren't real social when it comes to events like that.
Well, you have okay. So you've got donkeys.
Mm-hmm.
So is there like a donkey exposition or something like that?
Well, it's Love Your Pet Expo and whatever you call a pet. So you might be shopping around with your donkey, your rat, your cat, your dog. We've got a costume parade, and the donkeys always dress up just beautifully.
Do you think the donkeys know what they're doing?
Oh, they love it.
They do. They love it, huh?
Absolutely love it.
So tell us what's happening throughout the day.
Okay, we start off at 10 o'clock with the pet parade, and its costumes are optional. So we've got all kinds of fun people and their animals and their costumes. And then we have demos throughout the day. So we'll have training tips, and the Anderson PD will be there with their canine doing a little demo. Then we go from there. There'll be games, the cakewalk. These are all games and things that you can do with your pet. So there'll be agility and rally obedience, things like that. And then you will participate with your pet. We have the miniature donkeys will be doing cart rides.
That's great.
Then we have at 1 o'clock, we have the charity auction. And the charity auction is awesome. We have a $500 patio boat trip. We have the Saviano lanes and gift certificates from all over town. We just have awesome things at the so there's great deals to be had.
Now, Katie, can the public bring their dogs or other animals?
Well, here's what our little saying is. The invitation is to your pet, and if you behave yourself, maybe they'll bring you.
Now, is it true that miniature horses can be housebroken?
Wow, you know, I've never seen one.
I've heard that miniature horses can be housebroken and that they can be trained to be like an assist animal.
You know, I would not be a bit surprised because they're about the size of a Great Dane.
And they live a lot longer. They'll live up to 20 years, 20 plus years.
My Shetland pony that just passed away was 47 years old.
There you go. See, I've heard that they could be, that because of the miniature horse, I mean, they're like 3 feet tall, that they can be taught to be housebroken and that they can be taught to be a service animal. And that they, you know, where most service animals pass away after 10 or 12 years, many of them do, that a horse can go, yeah, we'll reach in that 30s.
Yes, that's very true. I specialize in blind animals. So a lot of my animals are special needs, and, you know, they're awesome, and they do. Some of those blind ponies can live to be up into their late 30s, early 40s.
So this Love Your Pet Expo, is this your baby?
This is my baby. My mother's my webmaster. My brother is the auctioneer. My father and husband are security. My daughter is the kids corner. We have an awesome kids corner with free face painting and free balloons and crafts throughout the day for the children. Yeah, it's my whole family.
That is just awesome. Okay, so what kind of activities will you have there for your dog?
Okay, the activities that will be there will be the rally obedience, will be the agility. We have AKC Good Citizen. There will be games throughout the day. I'm trying to make sure I don't forget anything, but I'm just a little bit nervous.
Oh, we're family here. No problem. Well, you have, you've got the kids' corner, like you said. You can make a dog or cat toy, I see here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else do you have? You can also, again, you got the clown making animal balloons.
Mm-hmm. We have a photo contest where you can either bring your own photo from home or have your photo taken there.
Okay, now what type of vendors will be there?
Okay, we have vendors that will be anything from the small mom and pop shops with homemade things to Petco. Petco is our big show sponsor, and because of Petco, this is possible.
Okay, and there's going to be door prizes?
Door prizes throughout the day, and that'll go in conjunction with the auction.
Okay, so what? How much does it cost to get in?
It's $4 to get in, rain or shine, but I have been watching the weather very closely, and it looks like we're going to have a beautiful day.
Okay, so now when you just sat down before you sat in the chair,
mm-hmm.
the guest chair, I think you said you may be giving a couple tickets away this morning?
I do. I have two sets of two, or for a set of four for a family. That's up to you, however you want to give them away.
Okay, call 605-4567 right now, and you can go to the Pet Expo. For free, for a family of four, or if it's a couple, just the two, then we'll take two calls. But the first two calls, we'll get the tickets either way. And that will have to be, of course, after you support Carl Walking a Mile in Her Shoes, which starts at 10. So either way, we have your weekend filled up. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Thank you so much, Katie Ball. We will be here again after the break and be taking those calls for you. 605-4567, Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
And KCNR 1460 AM, clearly News Talk Radio.
Yeah, hey, welcome back. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Today it's going to be a high of 50, and it's a beautiful a sunny day out right now. It's currently 32 degrees, and I probably read the wrong forecast. 32 degrees currently. It's going to be a beautiful day today. I think it's high of a 48, though. Somewhere in there. We know that it's a layered day. It's a beautiful day. And we've been with Katie Ball this morning. We came back with Katie because at the break, she mentioned something that was vitally important to Love Your Pet Expo. And for those of you who have pets that need to be heartwormed or haven't been heartwormed, Katie, you had something very valuable addition to our conversation earlier.
Yes, that we will be doing a show special of $15 for heartworm testing. It can be for cats or dogs.
And usually you say that runs around $65.
Right. Depending on the vet, it can be anywhere from $50 to $65 to take your pet in and have the blood work done. And you can do it there, and it seems like they're so distracted with everything going on that the blood work just is so simple, and they get it done so quickly, and then you can actually have the results faxed to your vet.
So you have bring your pet for $15. You can have a veterinarian.
It's actually RVT, a registered vet tech.
Great.
That will be doing that.
Absolutely wonderful.
Okay. So it's $4 to get in the door. Everything is free except the heartworm testing.
Right. Now, we want you to call us 605-4567, and you can get four free tickets for the Pet Expo. That's this Saturday, or the first two callers get two tickets each. So sounds like a lot of fun. And, it's fun to watch people dress their dogs and cats up, or their pets, or their donkeys, or their burros, or their llamas, and what else? Rats?
That's true. And you can go to loveyourpetexpo.com, and there's pictures from all the previous years, so you can see how much fun it really is.
Do people bring snakes?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you don't put the snakes next to the rats because they think it's a concession stand.
Well, I can imagine. Well, good. Now, how long has this been going on?
This is my fourth year.
Your fourth year. Okay. This is great. And we support this because it's the funds go to a good cause. And it's a good way to take your kids out and have a good time.
Right. There's also adoptions available. There will be all the adoption agencies in the area, the North State Rescues.
Okay. Well, thank you, Katie.
Well, thank you very much, Katie.
Today, we said it's mostly sunny, high of 64. I actually grabbed a piece of paper from yesterday, writing down notes. But it's going to be high of 64 today, mostly sunny. And the weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway.
It's been confusing us all morning ever since we picked up the record searchlight, which we get.
Yeah.
And the whole front of the whole paper's changed. And as they say on the front page, in case you don't notice, there's this changes in today's paper. So it's... I'm not sure.
It's a new format.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure where the format comes from, if this is from their national resource or they just made it up themselves. I have trouble believing they just made it up themselves.
Well, maybe Silas will call us because I think Silas said. Go ahead, Bob.
One of the contacts I have on Facebook mentioned that they have let go their entire copy desk.
Well, I think I heard from Silas that I think all of the papers that their company owns are going to be the same exact format.
That's probably what's happening. This is Carl in the Bottom, Free Fire Radio. Join us after these messages. KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the North State. Espresso Joe's provides the coffee at a great price. Any kind of coffee you want, any special makes, any special blends can happen there. And then you can go next door to this wonderfully appointed room where you can sit down, use the Wi-Fi, see what's going on in the world. Now, they also have this room available for meetings, and it's taken up a lot of times. This is where we're going to have the Benito Carlton debate on Friday from 7:30 to 9 a.m. That's in the morning. That's right. We can hold 90 people there, so get there early. I'm sure there'll be coffee.
And we'll also be streaming.
Streaming live there, as we are now.
KCNR 1460. Right, Bob? Yeah,
Bob's shaking his head in case you couldn't hear that.
Well, the reason you can't hear him right now is because there's a room full of beautiful blondes that just came in. and brainy blondes.
It's tough being having my job. It's tough being me.
We want to welcome Sandy Blaylock this morning from North Valley Bank.
Thank you.
And we wanted to, first of all, talk about another local bank that has been in the Reading area, locally owned, which we're thrilled about because we're all about supporting local businesses. And you have something that's going on that's very interesting that gives back to the community. Could you share that with our listeners?
Sure. We have a fun promotion going on right now for our customers. It's called Shop, Swipe, and Win. And all of our customers who have debit cards have a chance of winning $500 every Friday. Candace Vaughn is here from our Shasta Lake branch, and she was lucky enough to get to award $500 to one of the winners.
And that was just the most amazing thing, to be able to call someone. And the customer I called happened to not be home that day. He was out running errands. And so I had to tell his wife, you know, it is the bank, but please tell him it's good news, because people tend to, when the bank calls, I'm not calling them back. So he called me back, and I let him know he'd won $500, and he was so cute. He was an older gentleman, and he said, "I think I love you." It was great.
Candace Vaughn, of course, is our other beautiful gal from North Valley Bank. And how wonderful. Candace, I see you in so many local events that both of you are so involved in supporting the community. So that must have been a thrill to you to be actually, $500 is a lot of money.
It is a lot
so
of money.
So he just shopped, tell us how it works.
He used his debit card out shopping. You know, you can, anytime that you use your card out there, making any purchases, and you're automatically entered into the drawing. So he just, do you remember where it was that he bought? I can't remember where he bought.
I think he bought office supplies. We've had a lot of, it's been a lot of fun because we do a random drawing, so we don't even know who won. We just see where they were shopping. So it could be someone who was getting gas or someone who was buying a gift. So it's been really fun to call those people.
It can be any business. It can be any time of the day.
Yep.
It can be any day of the week. It's just they have to use a debit card. Now,
right.
How do you select a winner?
We do a random drawing, and if there's 250,000 transactions, we'll draw a random number and then match that up with the transaction number. So it's really fun, and we've had winners all over the North State, some on the coast, a lot here in the Reading, Anderson, Shasta Lake area.
Oh, so, yeah, I imagine 250,000 a week or something like that. It's kind of hard to put them into like a hat and pull that out, huh?
Right. Okay. Yeah, luckily we don't have to do it like that.
Well, I think this is really creative in a way that, you know, you can have fun while you promote your banking and promote business and promote shopping local. Whose brainstorm was this?
It was a lot of different people getting together. And, you know, when you get a lot of creative people in the room, you just come up with really great things. So we're promoting our e-services right now. Going green with e-statements. You can get text messages to your cell phone. So it's an exciting time.
Well, again, you guys are so involved in the community with what you do and your support. And, again,
you were talking about this lasting or being extended maybe? This program
right
or,
now
or
the promotion is going through the end of April, and if we hear good things from the customers, which we're hearing them, we'll probably extend it a little further.
Well, that
so
sounds
we're excited
good.
About that.
Well, you know, the chance of winning $500 in today's economy seems like a good thing to do. You know, it pays that REU bill,
right?
Maybe.
Well, a little sideline here, Candace, your husband served our country.
He did, and he's actually a North Valley Bank employee as well. I don't know if you know that. But he took a little vacation from his wife to Iraq, and I think it's been about 5 years ago, but spent a year and a half there, and that was his second tour of duty. He when he was a young man, he was in Desert Storm, and then he went back at 39 to fight this recent war. So I'm very proud of him.
Do you understand why?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good, because many don't, why they would be in one war and then many years later. Was he in the National Guard?
Well, he was in the Marine Corps for 13 years and had retired from that.
Hoorah.
And then met up with me, and I had the brainy idea, get in the National Guard. I think you need to get back in the military. And so then he got deployed with that. But he retired his 20 years after he got home. And his only comment was, boy, it was a lot tougher being overseas when you're older than when I was 21 years old, you know.
You know, you notice those little things like that things you used to be able to do all day long. Now it takes, you can do it that first day, and then it takes a little bit longer to recover, like a month to recover where it took you a day before.
Well, Carl did the same thing. He went back, many years in between 99 to what, then 2005?
2006, yeah.
2006, went back and then came to Reading afterwards, so we're really blessed to have...
Must be something about the water and the women up there that brings Marines up to this area. Anyway. Well,
we want to thank you so much, and so to share with our listeners with North Valley Bank how long, again, the Shop, Swipe, and Win event will be going on. Continue to.
It's going on through the end of April, okay. And we are looking at extending that. So we will make an announcement when we do that.
Ooh, so it's been that successful.
It has been really successful.
Oh, that's
and
so
and
exciting.
The only thing you have to do to enter is to use your debit card, which you would do anyway.
Make a purchase with your debit card.
And then get a phone call from the bank.
Mm-hmm. If you are so chosen.
If you're so chosen via probably a computer program or something.
Right.
That's so cute about that guy.
And then we give you, and you get the money right then. It's not waiting and mailing in. It's like... We hand them $500 and a $500 check.
We show up with balloons and a giant debit card and money.
Where are your locations in our area?
We have locations in Shasta Lake, seven locations in Reading, Palisadero, Anderson, Cottonwood, all the way down to Santa Rosa and all up and down the coast.
Well, thank you so much. And also I want to say, Candace, when we did the State of Shasta Lake Luncheon, that was a phenomenal event that you put on. And with all the other people at Chamber of Commerce, it blew our minds. The new community center it's called a community center,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
And it was just so well organized. And so I appreciate so much women that are out there in the trenches that are working hard to do things in a positive nature. And embracing and empowering others here in the North State. So thank you for honoring us and being on our show today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks a lot. Okay, you know, we're going to take a quick break. And we come back, there's somebody on here, Jerry. We're going to get to you right after these breaks, Jerry. And be prepared, my friend. Carl Indebott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl Indebott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Let's go to the phones. Jerry.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. How are you doing, Jerry?
Wonderful. Good morning, Linda.
She's coming right back in. She was just pushing our guests out.
Good morning,
Jerry.
So Jerry, this is Jerry from NorCal Presort, a good friend of ours, and the fact that you're calling in, I'm sure, is you're going to tell me that we're going to be marching together on this Saturday. Is that right?
Well, Carl, I have a choice. I have a choice to march with you or march with my princess in a walkthrough for our wedding.
Oh.
So what do you think I'm going to do?
Well, I guess you'll just have to tell Sharon you'll be a little bit late, huh?
I might have to become a participant at the Women's Refuge if I do that.
Okay. So what you're telling me, my friend, is that you're not going to be able to march with me in our heels.
Well, I'm not going to be able to do that. But what I'm going to be able to do is NorCal Presort and its wonderful employees would like to donate to you $100.
Wow.
To do that. And also, I would like to personally give you $100 to do a couple things while you're down there.
Uh-oh. Like what?
Well, first, I think to match those beautiful shoes that you've had made, I think a nice red boa would be appropriate.
a red boa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Will you do that? We can make that happen.
I'm not sure. We've got to think about that. Okay. What's the other one?
Well, I'm sure Linda can probably hook you up with that.
I can.
And what's the other one?
Well, what about a nice hat with some big, you know, feathers or something in it?
Okay, so if I, what if I do one? Is that worth half of it?
Carl, you're a Marine. You don't do half stuff, you know. Let's go full out, all right?
It's all for a good cause, and it's just, you just have to just use your body as a Christmas tree and let it be decorated for a mile. And then,
absolutely, Linda. Especially when somebody calls me out on the radio, you know, we got to have a little fun.
Seals on heels, but you know that I'm probably going to have to wait a year now to get you back out there.
Well, you know, I can promise you I will be there next year.
And I'm sure Bob will be taking footage. Bob wants to chime in.
I'm visualizing Carl in a Carmen Miranda hat. I like this idea.
Well, you know,
you don't want to know the rest of our ideas, so we'll just leave it there.
So let me get this straight. You're going to give, you're going to donate $100 towards a charity.
NorCal Tree Sort and its employees are.
That's wonderful. Okay, so now.
And then me.
And then you. If I wear a red boa and a hat.
Yes.
Of some, not just a baseball hat. It's got to have certain things in it.
It's got to match the shoes and everything, and you know the pearls that you're going to be wearing and stuff.
Well, yeah. I tell you what, I think I should have gone for much more for those pearls.
No, I think if somebody else, that is wonderful, Jerry. Somebody, I'm going to encourage this because I'm having a good time. If somebody calls with a $100 donation, they can personally put lipstick.
No. Absolutely not. We draw a line. That's one of them. You know, she's getting off on this.
Carl, I'm backing you on that one.
Okay,
right.
Thanks. You know, there's the old saying, lipstick on a pig. There you go. Hey, Jerry, I appreciate this. And you know what? And it goes to a good cause.
Jerry.
And it's in good fun. And I'll let
absolutely.
You off the hook.
And thank you, NorCal Presort, Jerry. You always do such wonderful things again. We
the
have
community.
This most incredible giving, loving community, and it's all in good fun, but for a very serious cause.
Absolutely.
And so this is a way for men to just acknowledge, you know, violence against women and walking in their shoes for a mile. And we'll make it fun, Carl. It'll be great. And you know what? Thank you. I'm sure our listeners applaud you. And Jerry, thank you for your generous, generous donation.
And I got a feeling that your walk down the aisle may be a little bit tougher than mine walking for a mile there.
Say it. We have
my princess is still in bed, so let's not get me in trouble.
Okay
well, now listen, we got save the date, and we're all over that. Anything that we can do to assist you, you know we're there for your very, very special day.
Well, thank you very much, Linda.
Okay, hey, Jared, thanks a lot, and we'll be seeing you later on today, probably, as I come sliding by there, yelling and screaming past your place.
Absolutely, Carl. You have a great day.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Don't take a break yet, because we have a friend who is a wonderful costumer, and she goes, if he's going to wear Dorothy slippers, you should dress as Glinda the Good Witch and walk with him while he's got Dorothy's shoes on. I said, come on, let's not go crazy. But I'm sure she'll take care of the hat and the boa, and that'll be great. You know, it'll be fun.
Let's take a break. This is Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio. Lipstick, huh? Lipstick.
Carl and Lindebot on KCNR 1460 AM, clearly news talk radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl Lindebot. Our phone line's here is 605-4567. And by the way, Dennis usually has a bunch of interesting guests on. David is one guest for sure to be listening for is Ariza Khalili, an author of A Time to Betray, The Astonishing Double Life of a CIA Agent Inside the Revolutionary Guards of Iran, which should be an interesting guest. You know, Miller has such an eclectic group. You could have anybody on, like from this lady to Newt Gingrich to Hulk Hogan, so... He's an enjoyable
and wonderful author, and he just has the most brilliant sense of humor. I mean, he's like, you know, quoting Hamlet-ish stuff and mixing it in with,
baseball.
Good segue.
And speaking of baseball, we have Roger Janis, who is here representing Simpson University, and we're going to talk about building a baseball field.
And this event called Let's Play Ball.
You got it.
Good morning.
Good morning to all of you, and thank you for having me on the show here. I'm very pleased to represent our organization, which is Let's Play Ball. And it's an organization that uses is partly with Simpson University, partly with some other people, Add Some Color, which are organizations that are promoting baseball, especially for the youth in Reading. We had had a great opportunity to acquire, at no cost, a complete baseball stadium from the city of Vacaville. That stadium has been disassembled, transported, and now is here in Reading. And we are in the process of raising money to complete the construction of the field and erect that stadium. Now, there are several phases to this project. The first phase, obviously, is to get the field in, a major league size field for competition among universities, colleges and universities. And we have no taxpayer monies involved. This is all funded from local people who have either donated money or have donated services in kind to build that field. And we are about 75% of the way to our goal, and we are excited about an event that's coming up this Saturday. It is at Big League Dreams. It's at 6:30, and you can contact Kathy Giacomoli, if I pronounced that right, at 226-1750 for tickets. But it's an opportunity to kind of get a feel for what the stadium is going to look like, what progress we've made, kind of really kick off the construction, because we hope to start construction of the field probably late spring. With this weather and the rain and stuff, we have to wait till the professionals tell us it's okay to begin to move dirt.
So when you talk about the baseball field that was disassembled in Vacaville, you're talking about the scoreboard, the dugout, tell us, what are the, when you say it was disassembled, what do you have in storage?
Well, what we have are a stadium seating. We have box seats.
Are all the parts numbered?
Oh, boy, we have pictures.
Yes.
Let me tell you what I'm saying.
That helps a lot here on the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, but you can see anything. Look, we just
had
a dog flip through here.
It is stadium seating. It's beautiful, by the way. And how many seats would you say that holds?
I think it holds about 3,000, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
So this is indeed where a pro league could come through and play.
You could play minor league baseball here. You can play college baseball here. Certainly it's not a 50,000-seat stadium like you'd see in the pros, but the field is a pro size field with great seating, and fortunately all of that was given to us.
That's so phenomenal. Now Saturday night is a special kind of a benefit showing. I understand Enjoy Magazine has donated their big jumbo screen, and you'll have people being able to show us slides and describe what we're going to be building and seeing. And the tickets are $25 to go on Saturday night, and the event is going to be held at
Big League Dreams, right, in their the covered arena there that they do rollerblading and the roller skating. And hockey.
And what time does the event begin?
6:30.
So 25, you can, for two people, for $50, you can be part of the beginning of the fundraisers. Even though they've got all you've got all this stuff, you just have to get the ground ready. Is that right?
Yes. Well, phase one would be primarily putting the field in, and not being a baseball expert on this particular thing, I've learned that it's not as easy as just leveling it and planting grass and put base pads out and things. You've got to make sure that it is properly constructed so it drains properly. It sustains itself with a lot of use and other types of things that we have people who know how to do this do it. And that will be part of the phase one. And then some of the, we're hoping to get some of the seating all up. And then obviously we have phase two, which is going to be the completion of the stadium with the box seating and all of the, you know, the electronic scoreboards and all of these other types of things. And that will take a little bit more time to complete. But it will be a world-class field. And it's not just for the Simpson University, though it's on Simpson University land, and we are very, very grateful for Simpson University's contribution of this land for this project. But it's also a venue for youth sports. It's a multi-purpose venue. As an example, you could probably hold, you know, a concert of some sort there. And that would be made available to the citizens. A lot of youth sports and baseball camps for kids who perhaps would not have an opportunity to be introduced to the sport or meet some major league players. Actually, Major League Baseball is a contributor to our field.
Really?
Did you know, when you say opening that sport to children, President Obama never once played organized baseball. He made that announcement after he threw out that last pitch high into the left. I'm not going to say anything about that. But he said he had never had an opportunity to participate in organized baseball. And you think about that. That, you know, I kind of thought that most everybody had a chance to, but then I realized I guess not. I guess there's many, many children that don't really have that opportunity. So here's a place right here in town.
Well, when they
another place in town that we can introduce our children to baseball.
I guess if you cut out P.E., that's what you grow. When we grew up, you learned, you had to play basketball and baseball, and you had to learn to play those sports in your P.E. programs. Many of our schools today cut out P.E.
And that's too bad, because that has a multiple impact on our youth. One, they are not getting the exercise that they need, and we've, you know, it's not a secret that child obesity is a real problem in this country. Lack of exercise, perhaps a lack of a proper diet. I think on the other side of the coin, too, is there's when young people are introduced to sports and they're playing as a team and they're part of an organization with a common goal, that is teaches them life skills that you don't get somewhere else.
You're absolutely correct. You know, we're going to have to take a quick break here, but we're going to hold, Roger, we're going to keep you till the next hour, because you were also the past chair of the Chamber of Commerce, if I remember right.
Yes, that is correct.
Well, I want to talk to you I want to have a few questions about that, too.
No problem.
Okay, well, then we'll finish up with the our own little field of dreams here. Okay, Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Lindebaugh. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. We're streaming at kcnr1460.com. Our guest is Roger Janis, who came here to talk about raising funds for the new baseball stadium. And that, I mean, it's a free baseball stadium. It's not costing the taxpayers anything. We just, what they're trying to do is just raise the funds to put in the field and to kind of rebuild the stadium, because it was dismantled. And it was given to
our organization,
right,
for use as the as a stadium
for baseball.
For baseball,
and for
Saturday.
Everything. For it's not just for Simpson; it's for the community. Yeah, Simpson University donated the property.
Yes.
Saturday night is the fundraiser. Let's talk about the Saturday night fundraiser once again. What time and what it's all about?
Well, it starts at 6:30. Big League Dreams. Their indoor arena there. It is primarily to launch the public launch of what we've done, where we're going, and what's all this about the baseball stadium. You know, there was a lot of press when the stadium first came up here, and people said, gee, where's the seats? Where's the stadium? And allow people an opportunity to see our vision of what will happen down the road, and also give them an opportunity to participate in this project, which will, beyond just the baseball, it's really tying in for family-friendly activities, youth sports. It's college baseball is pretty darn good. These kids can hit and throw.
I like college ball. What's the projection, Roger? Is there a projection of a date that could possibly be where the completion and the first game would be? Hypothetical wish.
Probably next season, because if we start in the spring and get everything in by the fall, you know, typically your baseball season is spring, summer, and into the fall, then that field will have an opportunity to get set and next spring be able to play on the field.
And how much funding do you hope to raise to do this?
Anything and everything is appreciated. Our budget, our phase one is $2.2 million, and we are about $600,000 short on that. And that money is a combination of cash and gifts in kind, where people are going to be putting in the concrete that needs to be done. One of the things that I'm kind of excited about is that we're the groundwork. A lot of that's going to be done by Shasta College students. We have an arrangement with Shasta College, and where they teach the students how to use this heavy equipment, they can now do this in a real-life, real construction environment. So it's good for the students at Shasta College, and it's good for the baseball stadium. So it's sort of a win-win. This has been a real community presence helping get this done. It's a lot of volunteers to do that. So I'm real pleased to see this combination of our group, the university, the city of Reading has been helpful with us, accomplish a positive objective for our community.
That's wonderful. We're taking your calls here, 605-4567 here on Free Fire Radio. That's 605-4567 if you have any questions for Roger or just a general comment.
Well, you know, Roger, you as you've said, as you're the past chairman of the Chamber of Commerce.
That's correct.
Right here in Reading.
Yes.
Okay. Talk to me about what you think is going on in the business community here. What do you think about the business climate at this time?
This has been an extraordinarily difficult time for the businesses in the city of Reading and in Shasta County. With the economic downfall, it has curtailed a lot of spending. What we see is businesses, we've unfortunately seen way too many businesses go out of business. And part of what the job of the chamber is to help businesses be successful and be an advocate for businesses. Things like Shop Reading. There's pretty much not a whole lot you can't buy in the city of Reading or in Shasta County, where your tax dollars stay here. We've seen businesses have to dip into savings to make ends meet. I've talked to a lot of business owners who have been dedicated to their employees and have used their personal funds to keep the business open in order to keep their workforce. I think we as a community are strong and hardworking, and that as the recovery commences, as we turn the corner, we will be able to maintain that momentum. But it has been hard, and it has been unfortunate. And we've seen what the city has had to do in order to make their budget balance. And I commend them for making some very difficult decisions that I'm sure they didn't want to have to face. I've seen businesses make difficult decisions, but I think in the long run, some of the things that they've done have streamlined their business. They're more cost efficient. I know the chamber has been very, very active in working with businesses and with the city and with the county. So we're all a partner, that we're not bucking heads against each other.
Right. You know, we've got to take a quick break here, but I want to come back. You've been in business your whole life.
Yes, sir.
You've been a success. And I want to ask you what you think of the Obama policies. Is it hurting or helping us to bring business back? This is Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Free Fire Radio. April 6th, 8:14 in the morning. We're taking your calls, 605-4567. 32 degrees right now. If your feet are hitting the floor, that's right, 32 degrees and very nice outside. Today's going to be high of 64, mostly sunny. Tonight's going to be mostly clear with a low of around 44. Weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Okay. Now, I'm just slapping my hands down on the table. Can I, you know, somebody else we know that's a very famous, kind of talk host guy is always slamming the table. But, you know, not that I learned from that person.
When you make $40 million a year, you can slam your hands down and hurt Bob's ears. Our guest is Roger Janis.
I know
you're
just
came itching. In to talk. Yeah, well, he came in to talk about, and we have. We've finished it. We're raising money for that. That new baseball field, but
and we'll
Roger,
be there Saturday night,
and Roger, but is also the past chairman of the of our Chamber of Commerce. And so here's the question: the Obama administration has spent billions, maybe even close to $1 trillion, on resetting the economy. What do you think?
I've been a banker for 40 years, and been through good times and not so good times. I think the Obama administration's plans to get the economy going again by government spending makes no sense at all. If you go back in history, and we need to learn from our history, and you go back to the economy that Ronald Reagan had inherited from Jimmy Carter, double-digit inflation, you know, we were paying 20% on CDs. What they did, and Kennedy even before them, John Kennedy, realized that in order to spur the economy, the people have to have some money and they have to have a job. So their approach was, let's get some money back in the hands of the people. Let's encourage investment. Let's get this thing rolling again. We are an absolutely fantastic country. We can build and do anything we set our minds to. And we have entrepreneurs that are just absolutely brilliant. And frankly, the government hasn't shown to me that they can run anything other than the military really efficiently. You look at the post office, you look at Social Security, you look at Medicare. And then if you go back into the Constitution and you look at the Constitution and you look at what is the role of government, it's not to run our lives. You know, there's a few basic things. You know, we can facilitate interstate trade so we're not fouling things up, and we have the military to keep us protected. But the people that made this country strong wasn't the government, it was the citizens. And I think the Obama administration feels at times, or maybe all the time, that they know better than the citizenry on how what's right for you. And again, the example with the current health care issue. You know, nowhere in the Constitution does the Commerce Clause provide an ability to force you to buy something. That's not government's role. Now, no one's against quality health care for our citizens. We, again, live in a wonderful country, and we shouldn't have sick kids and with our medical technology, or hungry children, or elderly people who really need help. No one questions that, and I've spoken just recently to a lot of different doctors about that. It's just the method that you do it to help them with that. And you can't spend your way out of this. It has never worked in the past. And if we learn from the past, we will hopefully not make the same mistakes. I think there's an old saying that, the definition of an idiot is someone who continually does the same thing the same way every time, but expects a different result.
Yeah. Einstein said that. Now here's the thing is, right here in Shasta County, if you look at us as a microcosm, is that we are hiring more people. There are more people working for the government. And we're at a peak right now, like 31% that are working. And 1/7 of the private industry jobs have disappeared. We're like about 9.7 nationwide for unemployment, which I believe is wrong. I think it's higher than that. I think anybody that looks at the figures knows it's higher than that, because there's people that stop looking, or it doesn't count people underemployed. That are not making enough money to live on. And then we have here in Shasta County, it's pushing 17%, 15.8 maybe, and it's got to be over that. And in California, it's 12.7 or 8%. They've just hired over 1 million people to work on the census. Now, that puts 1 million people to work. However, in 2 months or 3 months, those people are out of work again because the census is over. I don't see, you know, I mean, we can talk about long-range plans. I don't see a long-range plan. I see that a lot of the same things that happened under the Bush administration that everybody railed against are still happening. I still see the big firms on Wall Street paying out huge bonuses. Now, frankly, I don't care if somebody gets a bonus for doing a great job. I'm not sure that the ones that they're being paid out these huge bonuses, after everything everybody said about changing the system, how can they still do that? I mean, it seems like they can say one thing and they do another. And that's the part that really bothers me, is the trust in the government.
Well, and I agree with you. I think a lot of people say, gee, I don't have a job, but this person's made a ton of money. And I'm a capitalist. You know, you work hard. I don't care how much money you make. And Bill Gates, God bless you, Bill. You worked hard. You made a ton of money, and you do a lot of good things. If we bring it, say, to the Redding, Shasta County area, and take a look at what runs our economy here, we don't. One of the things that we lack is jobs such as manufacturing, as an example, say medical equipment or medical tools. We have a workforce that could do that, but we need to get the company to be here to do the job and work with it. So the Stillwater Business Park was one of those things that was to encourage the relocation to this area for small businesses. One of the things that hurts our economy here locally in terms of jobs and revenue. But we have tourism. We have beautiful lakes and rivers and things like this. And our tourism industry is an important part of our economy. We have the medical industry, which is a huge part because we are the regional medical centers, and we are very fortunate to have two hospitals of the caliber of Shasta Regional and Mercy in our community. So that's another segment of our economy, is being the regional hub. And then we have the retail side of it, where we are the regional hub for retail.
We're going to take a quick break here before we miss out completely on this one. This is Carl and DeBott. Our guest is Roger Janis, and we're talking about he's the past chairman of the Chamber of Commerce. We're talking about business here, business that's going on, what we need to do right here in our community, and we're going to be covering a number of other subjects too. So join us right after these messages. And welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR. 1460. It's Carl and DeBott. Free Fire Radio. Okay.
I know that call took you by surprise. There was a call at the break, and can we just talk about it real fast before we jump
Ted
into politics?
Ted Arellano called in, and he said, look, I'll walk 2 miles for walk a mile in her shoe. 2 miles in stiletto heels. And I said, yeah. He said, unfortunately, I will not be in the area that day. So instead, I will buy you off with $101. And I said, well, okay.
So that now makes it $431 that of generous supporters. Carl has agreed to wear a boa, high heels, pearls, and a hat. I'm sure he'll have other clothing items on.
But, you know, Ted, I appreciate what you said about you'd walk 2 miles. It, just unhappily, you weren't in town. Okay. You get off. Okay.
Our guest today is Roger Janis, who was a former chamber of the Chamber of Commerce here. And we've also been talking about the new baseball field that's coming in that we're having a fundraiser for on Saturday night called Play Ball. We'll be there. It's $25 a ticket. You can come, and there's food. But most of all, you're going to get to see on the jumbo screen the projection of this wonderful baseball field, which is going to bring, of course, more activity, sports. How about if we go to the phones? John, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, and Roger.
Good morning.
Roger, I understand you're a banker. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I have a question for you. I've been listening to what you said, and I agree with a lot of what you've said. However, I'm a little confused about an issue, and I want you to answer this question. You say we can't spend ourselves out of debt. I'd like to ask you as a banker to respond to this paradigm. If a contractor comes to you with a plan to build a group of homes but needs to borrow money to build his product, do you feel borrowing to build is an unacceptable method for him to proceed and make a profit?
Absolutely not. That's how the system...
Isn't that contradictory to what you said, that we can't borrow and spend our way out of this problem? Because I think that's the only way we can get out of it, is if we have money available to use for various projects to create... And I know you're going to say government. It's all the same. We need to spend money to make money.
Let me kind of take a step back a little bit. And...
Sorry.
Well, one of the things is, when I say you can't spend your way out of it, is government spending its way out of the dilemma. And but banks have provided that financial conduit to allow people to borrow money, build their project, and other people buy their product, whether it be a house or a car or something like this. That is putting money into the private sector versus the government sector. And what I'm seeing now with a lot of the government spending, it is on projects that are run by the government, that don't create sustainable long-term jobs. Now, we've just seen an uptick in the job market, which is great news. Unfortunately, a lot of that uptick came from people being hired for the census, and so maybe 2 months from now, where will these people find employment?
I understand what you're saying. I'm very concerned, however, as an example, the Levinson Group, who accepted this free money from the government, interest-free loans from the government, and are now lending it back to the government at 3%. There is, and still, because they're making now a profit off of lending money back to the government that they got for free for 3% interest, this is such a wise decision that they're giving bonuses to their employees for having done it. There is so much corruption in this whole concept, and I'd like to have you address that as a banker. And I know that, you know, it isn't necessarily local, and I'm not meaning to imply you're involved in it, but there certainly is corruption involved.
John, we got like 10 seconds for the break.
I'm true with
it. Okay,
I'll let Roger answer.
Okay, we're going to come on the other side with this. And that's a good question.
You want me to stick around, Carl?
Yeah, sure. This is Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, clearly news talk radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. 605-4567 is our phone number. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest tobacco emporium in the North State. Joe and Shelley support our community. You have a great walk-in humidor. Everybody there is knowledgeable. You can get the coffee of your choice made the way you want it. That's Tobacco and Brew. So much more than a tobacco emporium. Okay, we're going to continue that question that was asked about how can the banks take money and then loan it back to the government, take the taxpayers' money to save themselves, and then turn around and loan it back to the government for a profit.
The original concept, as I understand it, on the TARP funds was to provide banks with funds so that they could lend those monies to the community. The community would then, we could use construction as an example. The banks now have money to lend. They lend it out to a contractor. The contractor builds the houses. The houses are purchased by the buyers. And that was a way to stimulate the economy. Now, if the banks take the TARP money and they try to lend it out, but there are no qualified borrowers or qualified projects, or they don't have a reasonable expectation that the money will be repaid as agreed, then they really can't lend that money out. You know, that's just doesn't make any banking sense. So while they have the money in their possession, rather than letting it just sit idle, they in essence put it into a savings account, which deals with the Fed Reserve and all of this type of stuff. This way they increase the amount of money that they have available. The problem, I think, at the time all this money was thrown at the banks, and most of them have paid it back, was that the borrowers were either contracting in their businesses because they couldn't build a house because somebody else wouldn't buy it, and they'd be stuck with the inventory and potentially lose their investment. So it was almost a catch-22. I've got the money to lend, but I don't have anybody who's got the, you know, could pay it back as agreed. And so then they got it. And as you saw with large banks like Bank of America, they've just paid it all back. I said, here's your money back. We're okay. We're fine. I think that's to some extent an example of allow the free market system to work without complicating it by government intervention.
Are you still there, John?
Yes, I am.
You know, but let me add, well then, but what about the banks whose money was, you know, billions was handed to them? They still failed. To say that there's, you know, there wasn't enough
qualified borrowers
out
there.
They
were qualified before the problem.
They tightened up on it.
There are qualified people to make loans, and there's been more and more reports of indicated qualified lenders being refused because the money is intentionally routed back to the government for that 3% profit. Without anything more than paperwork transactions to turn this money over, it's like a Ponzi scheme, is what it is, and it's government based. Yes, it is, and I'm telling you, I am totally opposed to the way the government is handling the financial crisis. I'm totally opposed to the way the banks are taking advantage of it, and then to be rewarding the administrators of these transfer funds back and forth for their great job of making profit for the bank is totally wrong, in my opinion.
I can't speak for the entire country, but I know that our local banks have either paid back or lent out their TARP money, and they have done a very good job with that. Some of your money center banks, like Bank of America, like Wells Fargo, have returned all of that money to the government.
Well, here's the catch-22. Then the TARP project worked, because if the banks are actually utilizing the money, paying it back, and making a profit off of legitimate businesses that they're lending it to, then the program worked, and that did buy us out of the crisis that we're in. If in fact it didn't, as you said in the beginning of the program, that they didn't lend the money out, they did pay it back, or they didn't pay it back, it's not working, it's short term, then it was wrong. But my point is, it doesn't seem to be working except in the advantages of the bank.
Statistics on how the TARP money impacted the economy are few and far between. And
the Levinson example is a pretty standard and pretty straightforward opinion. The Levinson Fund, I'm sure you're familiar with it. They simply accepted the TARP funds, lent it back to the government, collected their 3% over and over and over and over again with an I don't even know what the annual APR that they received for it was, but they have managed to do that and give a great amount of bonus money to their executives for having come up with this solution.
Hey, John, we got a break here in
okay,
a couple
I'm
minutes.
Sorry,
and we, oh, no, no, no. You know what? Very good points. You know, my whole thing is the government got into it. There was no oversight. We really don't know where the TARP money, a lot of it went to. You know, if some of it worked, well, then hooray for us. It worked. But I think there's still a lot of challenges out there about how that money was used, keeping track of it. But thanks a lot for your phone call.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks, John. All right. I think you're getting ready to leave, aren't you?
Yeah, I've got to attend a meeting. No, I have to attend a 9 o'clock meeting, but you've got something that is really, really special that's happening.
That's right.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Now, tomorrow, we have people that come up here to the North State to visit, and tomorrow, I'd like to read you something here. On Sunday morning, 23 October 1983, I awoke as usual at dawn, dressed and went below to the 24th Marine Amphibious Unit's Combat Operations Center to check the overnights. I roamed outside my headquarters at Beirut International Airport to view the dawns, struck by the quiet of the morning. I saw Marines going about their duties and greeting others, preparing for a workout. Being Sunday, we were on a modified routine that pushed Reveille back an hour to 6:30, with Sunday brunch served between 0800 and 1000. So begins the narrative by Colonel Tom Garrity, United States Marine Corps retired, who commanded the 24th Marine Amphibious Unit that day in October. The death toll from a suicide bomber that hit that morning eventually reached 241 Marines, sailors, and soldiers, the highest loss of life in a single day since D-Day on Iwo Jima in 1945. That coordinated dual suicide attack, supported, planned, organized, and financed by Iran and Syria, using Shiite proxies, achieved their strategic goal, the withdrawal of the multinational force from Lebanon and a dramatic change in U.S. national policy. Our guest tomorrow will be Colonel Tim Garrity. He's going to be on at 7:30 tomorrow morning and to till 9 o'clock. We have a lot of questions. The colonel has been doing a number of things since that fateful morning in October of 1983. He's had an eventful life, and he's going to share that with us tomorrow morning, beginning at 7:30 right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We have to take a break here. KCNR 1460, clearly news talk radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and DeBott, Linda just took off. She's had an appointment. She's meeting up with a bunch of people. They're talking about a grand opening in one of the malls. Roger Janis is our guest, former chairman of the Chamber of Commerce right here in Reading. And we're talking about bringing the baseball stadium here into Reading, and that's going to be Saturday night, a fundraiser at Big League Dreams.
Big League Dreams, yes.
It's going to start around 6:30.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but now we're talking about business and the business climate here. You know, anybody that listens to our show knows how we push small businesses in Reading, and we always ask politicians is what can you do to make the business climate easier for our people. You know, like I found out during one of our interviews is that the fees for a restaurant, to open a restaurant right here in Reading, is twice what it is for a place like San Antonio or Dallas. I mean, huge cities. And why is that?
Well, I wish I had the answer. I look at it from a perspective that government should help facilitate the business, which means that you give the businesses get to keep a larger percentage of their money, and that the businesses, if you help them get in business through expedited permit processing, that the fees are reasonable so that the people don't use up all of their capital just to pay the fees, that what you get in the long run is you get your sales tax revenue, which is a benefit, you get your income to your employees who spend the money in town, and that's a benefit. So I think government's role, I would like to see government's role, as to allow businesses to do what they do best, and that is make money. And in the long run, that will benefit everyone. I don't know why some of the fees are higher. I don't know why some of the process takes forever to get done. I do know in conversations both with the city and the county that they try their very best to get through these things, but they're also governed by a number of regulations that come from the state and the federal governments.
Well, you know, that's another question I ask everybody that's running for office here. Are you willing to go through all these rules and regulations and standards and bureaucratic morass that we have to get through business to look at them, see which ones, before you introduce one bill or one bit of legislation, go through the old stuff and get rid of it, find out what is harmful, find out what really we just added on there to, you know, for some reason that nobody can really remember because it was 30 years ago. And everybody says, oh, yeah, I want to do that. Well, once a year, they pass a bunch of new laws. There should be a group of people put together that goes through the old laws and gets rid of them.
Well, it's always baffled me as to why every year we get a bunch of new laws, and they just seem to accumulate. Like you say, you add 10 and you don't take any out. You got 10 new laws to go through, some of which contradict another law or another regulation, or perhaps a bureaucratic interpretation. I just didn't think there was that many things that needed new laws every year. It's almost like I'm going to Sacramento, I'm going to Washington. If I don't introduce legislation, I'm not doing my job. And perhaps doing your job is to make sure what we already have works, get rid of what doesn't work. Look at things like a balanced budget, saying, hey, we cannot spend any more money than we bring in. It's going to be tough. It's going to hurt. But that's what the citizens have to live with, and we can't print money. So, yeah, I agree with you. I don't
understand this thing, you know, and I don't understand why when we elect people, when we elect them to be our representatives, that they just don't automatically do that. We should make them promise, I will not vote, I will not introduce one bit of legislation until we go through all the old rules and get rid of them. I think there was one that one of the candidates was talking about. One of the rules said you will not reclaim any of that irrigation water that, you know, they're using. And the other one says you will reclaim all the irrigation water. So there, you know, he had two conflicting rules that said, okay, I'll be glad to do whatever you want if you can just figure it out coming out of Sacramento. So that's the other thing, too, is you know, this thing starts at the top. And I mean really at the top with President Obama and works its way down. More government regulations, more rules, more fees, everything. You know, it seems like it's, you know, there's not enough. There's never enough to impose another restriction on us. This is completely wrong. That, you know, how did we survive this long?
Well, look at the IRS tax code. That entire code is larger in volume and words than the Bible. Yet the Bible is from the beginning for eternity. And there are many rules in the IRS that conflict. And now there's some talk about the IRS scanning your tax returns to make sure that if you didn't buy your health insurance, you pay the penalty. Now they're getting some police powers. And
yeah, 18,000 new agents to see that we buy health insurance. By the way, buying health insurance being forced on you by the government, I think, is a first. And from what I understand, that the people of the United States are being forced to buy a commodity like this. I mean, it's not like it's car insurance where you can choose opt not to drive a car.
That's
and
true.
I do not have to then buy that insurance. You know, if I own property, fine, I pay property insurance. If I don't own that property, guess what? I don't pay the property insurance. But now I am being forced to buy health insurance.
And I think the concept of having affordable medical care is a great concept. The problem is in the implementation. I mean, people could say, gee, I'd like to end war. I'd like to have world peace. But you got to take this in bite-sized pieces and try to get the system to improve over a period of time. You just can't make these big pendulum sweeps and hope that it's going to work well.
Yeah. You know, everybody takes small bites. And that was my whole argument, was like, do we need to reform parts of the healthcare system? Absolutely. Then why don't we take those parts and do those right away? Instead of doing something that we have no idea what the unintended consequences are going to be. We have to take a break. Our guest is Roger Janis. We're going to be talking when we come back with Dorothy. She's on the line. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Carl on the Bot. Let's go to the phones. Line 12, Dorothy.
Hello,
Dorothy. You're on KCNR.
Well, I want to say, first of all, that I'm been closely involved with the Boston Tea Party's setting up debates so that people can find out what the candidates are all about.
Uh-huh.
And I have also lived in Reading for 30 years. I followed Wally Herger for 23 of those. And that's as long as I can do it, I hope. And he has made the same kind of response to this debate that he's always made about the Constitution. When you ask him, is that a constitutional bill you're discussing? These are at his meetings, town hall meetings. And he'll either change the subject or say something that's off the cuff that has nothing to do with a bill being constitutional. And that's what he's doing with this. He's avoiding being involved with the debates. He's never debated anybody as long as I've been here. And if he has, it's been in the dark. So I'm just wanting everybody to know that the debates are on and that tonight, on the 8th, Thursday,
On the 8th of Thursday, we're going to have, I think Greg Mann's calling in, Dorothy, also to talk about that.
Yes, and it's a shame that this misinformation is getting out because it may discourage people from coming. But Wally Herger just has avoided answering us. He's given us all kinds of excuses for putting us off. And eventually he says he comes up with these excuses that he doesn't debate anybody in his own party, which is a lot of malarkey. And the other one is that he debates his opposition in the other parties. Well, that's a lot of malarkey.
I believe that the more debates, the better. I think that you should be able to go out there and define yourself in front of it's running against somebody else from your party or just anybody. Hey, Dorothy, thank you so much for your phone call.
You're very welcome.
All right. You know, I wanted to remind everybody that tomorrow, again, that our guest will be Colonel Tim Garrity. And Colonel Garrity was the commander of the 24th Marine Amphibious Unit in Beirut that was that had over 241 Marine sailors and soldiers killed on that 23 October morning back in 1983. We're going to discuss Colonel Garrity, his career that morning, what's happened since then. It's going to be a great interview. We're going to start that at 7:30 in the morning. Of course, we're on from 7 to 9 every morning, but we're going to start that talk with the Colonel at 7:30. So please join us in and have your questions. Okay, going back to the economy, 6,000 car dealerships shut down last year. 6,000 car dealerships shut down last year. A lot of it had to do with the flooring, that they, you know, banks would not give them the money to keep the cars up there. Without cars, you can't, without the flooring, you can't keep the cars out there. And without the cars, you can't sell them. On the other hand, a lot of people weren't buying cars. So, again, you get into this cycle of one thing hurts another. Yet Toyota, which you just got hit with a $16 million fine, sold more cars in the last quarter than they have in a long time, which I guess goes to show you that if you give away cars, that you can make money at it.
You know, I liken back to the 1979 when we had the oil embargo. At that time, I think, as I look back, would have been a great time to say, you know what, we need to rethink how we do transportation in the auto industry. Do you really need Ford and Mercury? Do you really need a Ford Taurus and a Mercury Sable? Do you need an Oldsmobile and a Buick, you know, and a Chevrolet? It would have been an opportune time to retool and say, you know, we could provide you a luxury car, a sort of middle-of-the-road car, and a economy car, and begin focusing on quality without having to sacrifice, some of the comforts. And we missed
somewhat like the imported cars were doing.
Well, yeah. The imported cars had somewhat of a benefit because after World War II, their factories were all destroyed, mm-hmm. and they got to rebuild with modern, newer equipment. Many of the United States car companies were still operating with equipment that was in the 30s and before that. So, yeah, I think people will buy a car that's reasonably priced, that provides reasonable gas mileage, and it's built quality, so they're not fixing it or repairing it on a regular basis. If you use that model, I think you can sell cars. But when you look at the price tag on some of these things that are supposed to be entry-level cars, they're $35,000. You know, you see, gee, $24,000 in the fine print, as shown, $37,900.
Right. You know, this is, you know, again, if our car companies have not learned this, and maybe we don't have to have the car companies that haven't learned this when it gets down to the, you know, survival of the fittest. So, hey, thank you very much for staying on here. I know you came in to talk about baseball, and we've ended up talking economics here, but, you know, you're a great guest to be able to talk about this, Roger. Again, our guest tomorrow will be Colonel Tim Garrity, former commander of the 24th Marine Amphibious Unit, suffered a tremendous loss in a suicide bombing in Beirut in October of 1983. We're going to be talking to him tomorrow. We've got the debate, of course, between Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito and his challenger, Steve Carlton. And I tell you what, that is going to be a lively debate. There's been shots being fired across both those bows. We're going to do that down. It's a live debate, and we're going to be remoting it back to the station here. We're going to be there at 7:30 in the morning. That's going to kick off at 7:30 in the morning on Friday. Our interview tomorrow with the Colonel will start at 7:30. Hey, this is Carl Bott and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.